Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, if you have your Bibles there, kindly turn to our passage, Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. May the Lord bless his holy word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the written word. And as we look into the message of today, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to your word and help us, Lord, apply what we learn to our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word hope features in the lyrics of the popular song we sang, The Solid Rock, which was written by Edward Mote. In the opening two lines of the song, he boldly declared, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." I looked into the history of this man, Edward Mote, and I found it very interesting. The story of this song is very interesting. I've tried to condense it. Edward Mote was born in London in January 1797, and he died in Horsham in West Sussex in November 1874. His parents managed a pub, and apparently they did not really keep a close eye on him when he was growing up, because he commented about his early days in London. This is what Edward Mote said. "So ignorant was I that I did not know there was a God. My Sundays were spent on the streets in play." He was playing around on Sundays. But as God would have it, he later went to a church in London called Tottenham Court Road Chapel. And there he had powerful sermons by a well-known speaker, Reverend John Hyatt. And he was challenged, and he came to accept Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord. And he was baptized at the age of 18 years. Before he became a pastor, a Baptist pastor actually, in Horsham, he worked as a cabinet maker for 37 years in London. And on his way to work one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And what he had was that he should write a song. And the title of the song, or the subject of the song, was to be The Gracious Experience of a Christian. And as he went to work, on his way, the Holy Spirit deposited in his heart the words of the chorus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And later that same day, he was able to write four stanzas. One day, he got four stanzas and the chorus. And then he said that the following Sunday, he wrote two more stanzas while sitting comfortably by the fireside. So I'm not surprised you got many versions. But the message remains the same. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My prayer is that the words of this particular song would actually mirror our own experience in life as we continue our pilgrim journey. The message God laid on my heart this morning is focused on hope. And it's mainly based on the passage that we read in Psalm 130. I believe that in order for us to successfully navigate life, we need the virtues, the three virtues that are clearly mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. The virtues of faith, hope, and love. But this morning, I want to focus on hope. And so the title of the message is Put Your Hope in God. And I would like to consider the following aspects of hope. The first one, hope is rooted in forgiveness. Secondly, hope that is resting on God's word. And thirdly, hope that is loaded with expectations. Let us look at the first one. Hope that is rooted in forgiveness. Right at the beginning of Psalm 130, we sense that the psalmist was in great trouble, and he did not hide it. He was under a great stress, and he cried for help from the depths of his despair to the highest throne of God's mercy. This is what he said. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. We also note that the psalmist did not claim to be righteous, but he made it very clear that forgiveness came from the Almighty God. In verse 3, he asked the question, and I think each one of us would know the answer to this question. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? The obvious answer to the question is nobody. We all agree that if God were to judge us on the basis of what we have done or what we have not done, on the basis of our sins, nobody can be declared righteous. The other day I was thinking about this particular theme. I was just thinking in my mind. And I was saying to myself that on the judgment day, I can be 100% sure that I will go to heaven. Why? Because the judge is my friend. The judge himself is my friend. And he has paid for all the penalties. Indeed, nobody can make it if we are to be judged on the basis of our righteousness. But we thank God that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. Now, when we are in the depths of despair, And I have been there before. When we are in the depths of despair, confused and stressed, we may not see what normally seems obvious. One of those things is pray. Pray. When you're under stress, you know it as a Christian that you should pray. But it may not even occur to you that you should pray. Read the Bible. When you are under stress in the depths, it will not occur to you to read the Bible. Therefore, it was a big step for the psalmist, while in the depths, to recognize that there is a God who forgives, that forgiveness comes from the Almighty God. Furthermore, we see in verse 7 of Psalm 130 that there is a clear connection between hope and forgiveness. The psalmist gave two reasons why Israel should put their hope in God. First, God's unfailing love or his mercy. Secondly, full redemption is found in God. Full redemption or abundant redemption. Not partial redemption, full redemption is found in God. Now, as you know, one of the meanings of the word redemption is the buying back and setting free of a slave through the payment of a ransom. And indeed, out of God's great mercy, God sent his son Jesus to die for you and I on the cross, thereby paying the full price required for setting us free from the slavery of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you and I. Amen. Yes, sometimes we fall into sin, but we are no longer slaves to sin, thanks to what Jesus Christ paid for you and I on the cross. We have full redemption. And in order to remind us of that, in John 19 verse 30, John 19 verse 30, Jesus said these last famous three words: "It is finished." Our redemption has been totally accomplished. This morning, you may be in the depths of sin, frustration, depression, discouragement, hopelessness, feeling of abandonment, whatever it may be. I believe that our Almighty God is telling you this morning, I can reach you. I can help you. I will answer you. And I still love you through Jesus Christ. If you are in the depths today, I want to remind you that there is a loving Heavenly Father who longs to forgive us, who longs to hear from us. And this morning when I was in the bathroom, I usually listen to some songs. And a song I heard, I thought, would be an encouragement to us. It's a well-known song. The song is called, "You Raise Me Up." You Raise Me Up. Originally, this song was composed by the Irish-Norwegian duo called Secret Garden. But I found the words very encouraging and relevant. If you are in the depths this morning, listen to these words. When I am down, and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. If you are in the depths this morning, cry to God. Remember, Jesus can raise you up from the depths, even today. Another important point that came to my mind as I reflected on Psalm 130 is that the psalmist actually shared his personal conviction about forgiveness. He shared it with the whole of Israel. He called on Israel, as we read in verse 7. He called on Israel. He said, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He shared his personal conviction with the whole of Israel. And actually, he had a very interesting platform for doing that. Because Psalm 130 is one of the songs of ascents. This was actually a song pilgrims from all over Israel sang when they were going to Jerusalem for the three big feasts, the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So as they were going there, they sang this particular song. So many, many, many people from Israel actually heard the testimony of the psalmist. And I ask you this morning, Christmas is round the corner. Yesterday was Black Friday. I believe you have started shopping early for Christmas. But you know, one important thing about Christmas is that it gives you and I a platform, an excuse for talking about Jesus. If you know that Jesus has forgiven you, if you know that you have enjoyed the good news of Jesus, share it with somebody this Christmas. Of course, we should do it every day of the year. But I would like to say that Christmas certainly presents you and I with a good opportunity to share the gospel with others. And I pray that God will help us do that. There are many creative ways you can do it, but the Holy Spirit is the one that will show you what to do, what to say, when to say it, who to say it to. But please, submit to the will of the Holy Spirit, and the results will marvel you. Let's go to the second point, hope that is resting on God's word. Now, we use hope many times in our daily conversations, and many times we probably use it in line with the definition of hope that we find in the Oxford Dictionary. And it reads like this: hope, a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And I thank Alex for giving some examples. Now, in Nigeria, we don't have snow in Nigeria. No snow. But we sang about snow. Wash me white as snow. And when I was a child, I didn't know what snow was. But we sang the song, translated to our language. But they could not find the translation, so they just put S-N-O, snow. Wash me white as snow. And as I grew up, when I moved to Lagos, then there was television there. I could see snow on television. And later, we got cards with snow on. But I didn't really Noah's Noah's. So coming to this country, one of the things that I hoped to see, especially after hearing songs like I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, one of the things I was hoping for was that on Christmas Day, there would indeed be snow. And lo and behold, year in, year out, down in the south, there was no snow. That, you can say, is a kind of wishful thinking. But for a Christian, hope is certainly not wishful thinking. It is something deeper than the definition presented us in the Oxford Dictionary. For a Christian, hope is underpinned by confidence and assurance of what God is going to do. In Psalm 130, verse 5, the psalmist declared that he will put his hope in God's word. This is what he said: I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. He was essentially declaring, like the hymn writer said, I am standing on the promises of God. The psalmist put his hope in God's word. When our hope is in God's word, it gives us confidence to move forward, because he cannot lie, and his word is totally, absolutely dependable. In fact, we were reminded on Thursday about this same thing by Pastor Ian. Of course, he didn't know I was preparing this, so what he said is in line with this. God's word is rock solid. He cannot lie. And I just picked two Bible passages to remind us of this. Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And then a New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19a. Hebrews 6, 17 to 19a. A is the first part of the verse. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. God cannot lie. We can rely completely on his word. Therefore, as we face the unknown future, let us remember to face it with confidence in God's word. If God says it, he will surely do it in his time, but we need to believe it. I'll give three quick examples of the promises made and fulfilled by God. Just three quick examples. The first one, Genesis 15, 13 to 14. I'll just summarize it. In Genesis 15, 13 to 14, God told Abraham, at that time called Abram, but it's the same person, Abraham. He told Abraham that for 400 years, his descendants will be strangers in a foreign land and be enslaved there. But he will bring them out with great possessions. Promise fulfilled. They were in Egypt for about 400 years, and indeed, they left with great possessions. Promise fulfilled. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, he promised that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son who will be called Emmanuel, or God with us. Promise fulfilled. Jesus, our Emmanuel, was born by the Virgin Mary. Then in Jeremiah 29, verse 14, he promised that the Jews will return to their homeland in Israel. Promise fulfilled. Amen. The state of Israel was formed in 1948. These are just few examples of promises made by our God and fulfilled. We can go on and on and on. We have claimed his promises, and he has fulfilled them in our own lives. Such an impressive record of promise keeping by our God should encourage us to trust more in his word. May he guide us and bless us as we continue to put our hope in his word. And then to the last point, hope that is loaded with expectations. In Psalm 130, verse 6, we see another interesting dimension of hope. Hope is full of expectations. Let's read that verse. Psalm 130, verse 6. The psalmist said, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Biblical scholars have identified various possible meanings of this verse and concluded that the watchmen used in this analogy could be three things. They could mean watchmen of cities or keepers of the wall who were on night shifts and looking forward eagerly to daylight so that they could go and rest. So they waited eagerly for the morning. And then could be those people looking after the sick during the night, and who again looked forward to daylight so that they could get some refreshment and some sleep. And thirdly, could be priests and Levites working on night shifts in the temple and who were looking for others to take their places in the morning so that they could go and rest. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Therefore, Psalm 130 verse 6, he's describing how someone in the depths of distress and despair is looking forward to God's intervention. In other words, when we cry to God for help, we must also look forward eagerly for God's intervention. It is my prayer that in our times of distress and difficulties, we will look forward to God's intervention. When we pray, we should pray with conviction. When we pray, we should pray with expectation. Pray and believe God is going to move mountains for us. God is going to do something for us. Not just pray, well, God help me, yeah, and leave it there. No, pray from your heart with conviction, with expectation that God will do something for you. Psalm 30 verse 5. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Did you hear that? Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Praise the Lord for that. You may be going through a dark night because of your problems, but right now, start hoping for the joy that will come in the morning. I don't know if you like winter. Some people like winter. Daughter-in-law in the U.S. likes winter. But one thing about winter, certainly that I don't like, is that it gets very cold. I'm saying the obvious. But I don't like it when it is very cold. I can assure you that as you see me standing in front of you, I am very well armed for the winter. I am wearing long johns. I prepare for winter. Winter can be very cold. Darkness sets in very early. But let us start thinking of spring. In winter, start thinking of spring. Those lovely flowers. Start thinking of spring. Start thinking of the summer. The warm, sunny days and those long hours in the patio drinking tea or, you know, doing something nice with your family. Start dreaming of that now. Your problems may make you feel like you are going through a spiritual winter right now. But start hoping for a spiritual spring and summer right now. But you know, the great thing about our God is that he's always there. He's an all-seeing God. He's always there. But my brothers and sisters, if you are in winter in your life, definitely start dreaming, start hoping, start praying, start thinking about spring of your life, about summer of your life. Talking of expectations, I challenge us to be full of expectations about the great things God is going to do in our personal, family, church, national, and international levels. For example, expectations that those who are sick in our midst will be healed. We have prayed and prayed, but let's have that conviction in our hearts. Let's pray in our hearts with expectation. God, you are going to do this. I know that that will happen. I'm imagining that some of our brothers and sisters who are sick will stand in front of here and give testimony of healing. I have that expectation in my heart. Let us have that. Let us hold those expectations. It is not wishful thinking. It is grounded in the word of God. Our God can do it. He has done it before. The word of expectations that our unsaved relatives will come into God's glorious kingdom. We have been praying. You have been praying for relatives, many, for many, many years. They are not yet there today, But have that expectation that it will happen one day, that the veil will be removed, that their blindness will be removed, and the day will come when they will see the light of Jesus Christ. What of expectations? That prodigals in our families will return to Jesus. We have some in my family. We have prayed for many, many years that they will return. I know they will one day. Because the prodigal son reached a point when he came to his senses. I believe the prodigals in my family will come to their senses one day and return to a loving father. I have that expectation. Let's hold on to that kind of expectation for your family, for my family. What of expectations that there will be a great revival in the UK? I have heard of the Welsh revival, the great Welsh revival. Our God is still active today. The Holy Spirit is still there. Let us believe in our hearts. Let's have that conviction and expectation. Pray that indeed there will be a period of revival coming to this land. This country sent many, many missionaries abroad. I'm one of those beneficiaries standing in front of you. There was a time when churches were full in this country. No empty pews or empty chairs. That time can still come. Amen. Let's hold on to that expectation. I have others, but time will not permit. It is my prayer that our expectations will be fulfilled in God's time and to His glory. In conclusion, we have considered the topic, put your hope in God, and we focused on the following aspects of hope. Hope that is rooted in forgiveness. Hope that is resting on God's word. Hope that is loaded with expectations. Everything I've said would make sense and would be useful if, and you can enjoy that hope if you belong to Jesus. So if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, today is another opportunity. Christ has paid for our full redemption. Why not come and give Him an early Christmas gift by accepting the gift that He Himself offers? And secondly, if you are already a Christian, you've been following Jesus for some time, is there any area of your life where there is disobedience? You know yourself. Is there any area at all where there is disobedience? If there is, confess it to Him and accept the free forgiveness that He offers. Because we have assurance in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And in closing, I would like to encourage you with the words of Paul's prayer in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.